Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Leaders Speak, a conversation on changing the way government does business. Richard Boley, Director of the Office of E-Diplomacy within the Bureau of Information Resource Management at the U.S. Department of State, is charged with making e-diplomacy the way to collaborate within the department.
So really the nub of e-diplomacy is to make sure that if somebody has the information that another person needs to get their work done, that they can find each other. It's not this hierarchical command and control knowledge management approach where there's some gigantic data basement somewhere where everything needs to be thrown and you go fishing for the information there. It's more that information is where it is, and you just need it to make it discoverable. To facilitate access to the information that a diplomat or our State Department employees need anytime, anywhere on any of our available platforms. And so that's kind of the real nub of it. But part of it is, although I don't like the idea of cultural change, there is a change implicit in this. If we move from a Cold War need-to-know approach where the idea, the watchword was keep information locked down, siloed, because the big bad Soviet bear was out there trying to get pieces and aggregate them to figure out our secrets. And you fast forward to the post 9/11 era where we found ourselves crippled by our inability to aggregate those same pieces of information to identify our threats and vulnerabilities. So that sea change, that change from need to know to need to share, is fundamental to what we do. Equally fundamental is the idea that success is not dependent on the information you hoard, but the ability to articulate the information you have across an important, valuable network throughout the enterprise, not just to the people you know, but people who may be a degree or two of separation away from you, but would benefit from having access to the information you have.
According to Boley, it's about identifying better ways to find and share information, to network, thus enabling and encouraging State Department personnel to securely and effectively contribute knowledge anywhere, anytime.
Out of that was born e-diplomacy, which was an effort to put end users in the IT decision-making process and help us develop platforms for collaboration and information sharing really from the grassroots.
Richard Boley describes how promoting internal agency information sharing enhances performance and directly transforms how the U.S. Department of State does business. But the importance of information sharing across all government agencies cannot be overstated. It is critical to the safety and security of this country that federal, state, local, private sector, and international partners improve their sharing of information about terrorism, homeland security, and weapons of mass destruction. When examining the full scope of information sharing and protection, many widespread and complex challenges must be addressed and solved by multiple agencies and organizations working together. That's why pursuing the goals of the Information Sharing Environment, ISE, is so critical to changing how government agencies share information. Smendra Paul, the ISE program manager, explains.
The ISE is a complicated topic. The way I think about it is that the ISE is a collection of normalized mission and technical capabilities distributed and decentralized across all of our mission partners, federal, state, local, tribal, and private sector entities. The ISE is delivered by interconnecting existing networks, systems, and databases, working with industry and standards bodies to adopt required standards and other frameworks. The ISE harmonizes and standardizes information processes based on shared mission equities. And finally, the ISE strengthens information safeguardings, including protecting privacy, civil liberties, and civil rights of the American people. A practical way of thinking about the ISE is to think of it as an information analog to the interstate highway system. The same way the interstate highway system knit together this country post-World War II, the ISE is intended to be the information fabric enabling whole-of-government responses to national security and public safety challenges that face our nation.
So how is ISE changing the way information is shared across government agencies? Smendra Paul continues.
The number one issue is 11 years post 9/11, retaining the urgency and prioritization of accelerating responsible information sharing. That's the our number one challenge. We've had a lot of progress. We've made progress. Last year, at the 10-year anniversary, commentators inside, outside the government all recognized the progress we've made on information sharing post 9/11. But there's more work to do, and it requires focus and prioritization. The number two challenge is new, and it's just as big as the structural financial challenge faced by agencies in the public sector. It's bad at the federal level. It's much worse at the state and local level. Number three is the evolving and increasingly integrated threats that span national security and public safety missions. And four is the tsunami of information and the imperative to correlate disparate bits of information across the distributed ISE.
Improving mission performance is key to changing the way government does business. Dr. Peter L. Levin, former Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, tells us about the success of VA's Blue Button Initiative.
This is a project that was actually spearheaded by Jan Kemp and by Sonia Batten, two people who I consider sort of my closest collaborators at VA. Now, suicide, as you might know, is an endemic problem in the United States right now, right? It's not particular to veterans. But when veterans have this problem, it's something that we can do something about as long as they're in our system, as long as we can touch them, as we know who they are, they have to identify themselves. Jan had this idea to create a chat service. And she said, well, look, we have this capability. The technology is there. It's not very expensive and it's highly secure. But she was being blocked, you know, by the bureaucracy and by the qualifications and the certifications. So the first project that I worked on, literally in the first month, I can tell you the day that we went live. It was July 3rd, 2009. And we turned on that internet chat service. And fast forward to today, we have over 6,000 interventions, right? Now, that's, I'm not talking about just the chats that we have every time somebody, you know, misdialed us or, you know, they weren't, let me say, weren't looking for suicide prevention services. They were looking for something else. But nothing is more important to me than those couple of folks that are with their families today because of what Jan did a couple of years ago and where I got to kind of help push it across the goal line a little bit.
Taking care of our veterans is a critical commitment, but only half the battle. With rising healthcare costs and increased number of beneficiaries, the focus on value and innovation are key. Vice Admiral Matthew Nathan, Surgeon General of the U.S. Navy, tells us more about his efforts to realize sustained value while keeping a healthy and fit force, and how the advent of virtual medicine and the Medical Home Port Program fits into how the Navy and all the armed forces are changing the way they deliver healthcare services.
So we've created Patient-Centered Medical Home, which is a pod of providers centered around a physician, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, perhaps an advanced duty corpsman, all of them who know you. Mm-hmm. One of them is available to you. Where this is working, we don't have it everywhere yet, but it's growing. But where it's working, you can reach one of them at all times. In addition, you communicate to them majority of the time through either a web-based, secure web-based system or through email or through an iPhone or whatever. You don't have to come in for everything. Harnessing the power of digital and telemedicine is critical. And I would add pivotal to the United States Navy because I need that more than any place else because I have so many medical facilities displaced all over the world. I can provide the firepower, the medical firepower of a tertiary care hospital to a small little ship that's out in the middle of the ocean. So already we're leveraging what I'd call virtual medicine, telemedicine. And I believe that, A, that's good for people in austere environments, and B, that's going to be the game changer for cost.
How is the U.S. Department of Defense changing the way it does business? We will explore this question and so much more when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour returns.